Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm calling it how I see it.
The Charlotte Hornets select LaMelo Ball.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I have to give him this, man. He's going to have two kids drafted top five in the NBA draft. That's going down.
I'm calling it how I see it.
Earlier on the show, Los Angeles Rams quarterback Jared Goff, NBC Sports boxing analyst Sean Showtime Porter. Coming up from the CBS comedy The Unicorn, actor Omar Miller. Plus, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We'll take you to Brother from Another at the end of this hour. And helping us take us to Brother from Another is one of the stars of Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. Omar Miller, who was one of the stars back in the day of Ballers, he is on The Unicorn. We've had Walter Goggins and Rob Corddry. We've gone up and down the cast list of this CBS show.
All great friends of the program.
Yeah, they are. He's also the role voices the role of Finn in the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, which premiered on Disney Plus this past Tuesday. I did not know about that.
I did not.
I'm going to be all over that. My children have off of school all next week.
Oh.
That was like a...
not happy about that?
There's three of them, Chris.
Yeah, we're quarantining. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Home. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's that.
Mine's finally starting to crawl forward.
Dude, when your child starts moving around the house, your life is changing big time.
Yeah.
Right now... you are basically mostly a useless appendage of your operation. Useless. Okay?
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're, and I say that fully.
Yeah, with all the, right. Yeah, of course. Okay. Of course.
So, but soon, you're going to be playing defense. At least you got 2-on-1 there.
2-on-1.
Right.
And a dog, maybe 2.5-on-1.
Yeah. But, I mean, wait till Cage goes up to Maverick and starts whacking him. That's coming.
Right now, it's just Maverick doing drive-by licks.
Yeah, like, go. That's great.
Walk by, lick, lick, lick. Stop licking his face.
Yeah, like, it's wonderful. I love it. Dog and little baby.
Dog and baby.
There is something so cool about that when, like, with the dog and the baby get together and that bond that they have.
All you got to do is follow Rex Chapman's feed. You'll see at least one or two videos of that every week.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. I went all in the last hour about how exciting this week 11 game is between the Cardinals and Seahawks. Man, I just don't know who to take in this game.
Oh, I know. Well, you got to decide in 57 minutes.
I don't.
Well, it's just for the...
I mean, I guess. I'm leaning towards Arizona. I'm leaning towards a team that's playing with a little bit more momentum. And I know that they would have come in with no momentum if it wasn't for a 50-yard Hail Mary, but those things feel good. Those things linger.
But home field, and I just can't see them
home
lose.
Field, I know it's home field, but the 12s aren't there.
The 12, I know, man, but there's still something there about the routine of being at home.
I get it. I know. But there's nobody in the building.
That's true.
So it's a totally different environment. I just want to make sure that this is just the usual. Two teams that just cannot play normal football games are getting together.
Exactly.
And the last time they did, it was an abnormal football game, which is why it's, to me, still the game of the year.
What's happening?
That Sunday night game that they, you know, got flexed into it because the Tampa Raiders game was in danger of being pushed back due to COVID. It wasn't, but that was way back in week 7. Now we are at week 11.
I want to see 8 touchdowns tonight, minimum.
Well, certainly because we all have fantasy players that are in it.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Just not 9. Let's just keep it around 8.
Oh, is that really? Doing the math? There too. 8 touchdowns probably too much.
I don't know. Six touchdowns, two field goals.
Okay. Too, because there was big news that broke about 15 minutes ago that is rocking the National Basketball Association, and for good reason. And then again, your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Here's Chris Brockman's news update, top of hour three.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, what do you have over there, Christopher?
Okay, Rich, let's just start with that NBA news. It was feared, and it's come true. Klay Thompson has suffered a season-ending Achilles tear, according to multiple sources and multiple information men. Woj saying, based on the type of tear, Thompson has been told to expect he will make a full recovery. But that's going to put him out all season.
All season?
Yeah.
A season that, again, begins in 5 weeks and then runs all the way through to July.
Right. So we're not going to see Klay Thompson again until
2021.
Next October.
Oh. Then it's a conversation. Is he remotely the same guy? It will be 2 years.
Yeah, because Klay is one of those great perimeter defenders, one of the best defenders in the league, in addition to being one of the all-time great shooters.
By the way, did he not sign a long-term deal just before he blew the knee out? I mean, literally right before that happened.
Can't remember.
And I do remember it was like the team is going to pay it all out and, you know, Clay's Klay. And it's kind of like a thank you for all those championship years.
I just remember he had said last year that how he was happy there. He was making good money.
Yeah, the conversation was he's going to come here and team up with LeBron.
But he was like, I'm fine where I'm at. So
yeah, it's just a
5 year, $189 million.
Yeah, yeah. He signed it right before the injury. So.
5 years, $189 million, yeah, and he hasn't played he's hardly played a single game.
Yeah,
since
he's locked
that.
Up through the end of 23-24.
Oh. Just on the total such apropos of nothing, I saw on my Twitter feed that just to show you how NBA players just hit it, Kelly Olynyk picked up his player option of just shy of $14 million.
Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk.
Of course he did.
Basically didn't really get much run for the Heat until everybody started dropping like flies, right? Yeah. In the playoffs.
And had a great bubble.
I know.
Had a great bubble, yeah.
But, you know, in the tightening of the rotation, he wasn't seemingly getting a lot of minutes in the NBA Finals until it was necessary.
That's been my favorite game the last week. Like, guys, obviously.
Yeah, which guys, eighth, ninth on the bench, were picking up their options.
Like Nick Batum picked up his $27 million option. You don't say.
for money that a top-notch wide receiver would make in the NFL.
Honestly,
like $14 million bucks is not out of the realm of what, you know, somebody like DeAndre Hopkins is going to want per year, or he'll make more than that. But you know what I'm saying? $14 million bucks will get you a top-flight Pro Bowl wide receiver in the NFL.
Sure will.
What else over there, Chris?
Oh, yeah. All right, some NFL stuff.
Yes, there's a lot going on here.
Okay, so Sammy Watkins is going to play this week. He's back. He's missed a bunch of times, so he's back for Kansas City. That's huge for them. Teddy Bridgewater was limited today in practice, was seen wearing the non-contact red jersey, walking around with a limp. So it looks more and more like a game-time decision for Teddy Bridgewater.
Detroit, that's a big game for Detroit, man.
It could be a P.J. Walker, Will Greer situation, so keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Joe Mixon did not practice yesterday, has not played since week six. Looks like it's going to be unlikely he's back in action.
Wow.
And the Chargers brought back Chris Harris off the IR. He hasn't played since week three.
Keep an eye on Austin Eckler. When is he going to be coming back?
So he posted a video.
I know of him running like crazy, saying to all the people who drop me in fantasy.
Yeah, don't drop me. Pick me back up. Like, he's going to return.
I'm not hearing anything about this week. Could be next.
Anthony Lynn did say yesterday that Kellen Ballage is going to be their number one this week.
Why not?
So
he's going against a team that did pick him up and then said, see you later. Jets didn't need Kellen Ballage.
Was that where he came from?
Yeah, man. The Jets grabbed him. When the Dolphins cut him loose, the Jets grabbed him, and I guess he failed a physical. Chargers took him, and now he's just the late. I mean, is he like ninth on their depth chart or ninth different running back to run this year? That's right. Tremaine Pope and yeah. Justin Jackson
and Josh Kelly.
Yeah. And obviously Austin Eckler.
Normally it's the offensive line for the Chargers.
Right.
Banged up. Now it's the running back.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
the Raiders, Rich, we talked about this. They've added six defensive players
to
the COVID-19 list, Jonathan Abram being the latest.
Well, again, these are not apparently COVID-positive players, but people who have been deemed close enough contacts.
Yeah, Cleveland Farrell tested positive, so these are all high-risk contacts. Arden Key, Jonathan Hankins, Malik Collins, Isaiah Johnson, Kendall Vickers, and Jonathan Abram.
Jeez. So I don't even know how the hell they practice. The Kansas City Chiefs coming off a bye on Sunday night in Vegas. Look out. Look out below.
Look out. Conor McGregor made it official. He's going to return to the Octagon UFC 257 on January 23rd. Main event fight against Dustin Poirier. That's going to be awesome. The fight's going to be at 155.
Mm-hmm.
Dana White said, looking to take place on Fight Island, quote, if everything goes according to plans.
Let me ask you a question. Just in terms of retiring and unretiring.
Okay.
Has he surpassed Favre? Yet?
This would be what?
Times
this would
where be like number out. I'm out.
Three or four,
I am
DJ?
Out.
How many times is this?
I am out.
13, maybe?
It's been
it's
crazy. He's like he's the boy who cried retirement.
Right?
How many times did he say, I'm out?
I mean, legitimately, at least four, I would think off the top of my head.
Whatever. As long as he comes back.
No, I know
fighting,
that. But
awesome.
The number of times it's like, I am pissed. I am out. I am going to throw this can through this bus window. I am finished. Nobody can touch me. I think that I'm disrespected. Yeah, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Screw Dana White. This sort of thing. That sort of thing. And then.
What it does? It just keeps your name in the news.
No, I know that. But it's just like, you know. Just wondering, how many times has it been of him retiring and unretiring? It's got to be at least three.
Yeah, I would say three or four off the top of my head.
But he's back, everybody. He's back. It's three times now.
At least.
It's three times. But we all know that when he is done, there's still a Guy Ritchie movie that he can star in tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Snatch 2?
I think there's already been one of those,
oh, really?
Right?
Okay.
I don't know.
I think you're right. Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, all you need to do is have Conor McGregor. All you got to do is hit somebody, right?
Yeah.
And speak in a way that's very difficult for an American to understand. And you're wondering if it is the same language that you're talking.
I need a caravan for me, ma. She's partial to the periwinkle blue.
Look at him. Wow.
Pretty good.
Do you remember when Tyson Fury came in here?
And his whole crew?
His whole crew. We taped the interview.
God.
Okay. His whole crew came in here. A few of them were dressed like to the nines.
Yeah, they were.
And it was like 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He was dressed in like
some pink shorts,
right?
Super short.
Right?
Showed a lot of thigh meat.
Which would come down to my knees, but for him, it looked like John Stockton. And I remember
walked out in the back room.
I love going in back there when we, you know, when humans used to come here on the show. And,
yeah.
And guest in person, I went back there and I talked to him. I'd never met him. He was sitting on the couch. His feet were literally, you know,
touching the wall.
I mean, and it's not a very small room. It's a nice sized green room that we have here. And his entourage was back there. One of them was doing like magic tricks for me.
Yeah.
They came out here and did it.
He was dressed
in like a pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I talked to them for like 2-3 minutes. You, TJ, again, when we had human being as guests, you would go back there and ask them questions and put it on social media and all that sort of stuff. I came out here and I said, what to you guys? Do you remember what I said to you guys?
You're like, it's like the cast of Snatch.
That's what I basically said. Right? I also said, I went back there. I didn't understand a word they said. I just had a conversation and I, you know, nodded a lot, like literally didn't understand a word they said.
Yeah. Gypsy stuff, man.
By the way, Tyson Fury came out here. The Gypsy King came out here and poured his heart out.
Yeah.
To this day,
yeah.
I believe, set a record for our Twitter feed, right? 3 million views
that
of
video
him
got a lot.
Talking about his mental health issues and battles.
Talked about driving with 180 miles an hour in his car, thinking about driving off a bridge or something.
But again, Tyson Fury could star in a Guy Ritchie movie. That's what it was like. lock, stock, and two smoking furies, man.
5 minutes, Turkish.
Look at him.
TJ, this is for you. This news broke after we went off the air yesterday. Well, let's just bring it up real quick. Mets second baseman Robinson Cano, positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Stanzolol. I don't know.
Stanzolol.
Anyway, he's out the whole 2021 season. That's his second PED suspension. Missed 80 games back in 2018. It's going to forfeit all $24 million owed to him next year. Ugh. How you feel about that, TJ?
Well, that stinks because I like Cano, but it brought something up to me. There's another free agent second baseman out there. He also plays in New York, and he also wears pinstripes, the other team that wears pinstripes. And much like TJ, he has initials for his name, which are DJ.
Yes.
So then we got 24 extra million. So, you know, I'm feeling kind of good.
Well, here's the thing. I will say this. DJ LeMahieu, you're referring to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Who turned into one of the most valuable Yankees of the last 10 years.
He's been awesome.
Right. And he's a free agent.
Sure.
This would be the shot across the bow that I was talking about for you.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I was talking about it for you when Stephen Cohen became the owner of the Mets with all his billions. And again, the creators of billions swear he's not the Bobby Axelrod template. They swear that's not based on him, but that's a rumor that goes everywhere. But he's got the millions and billions. It's for real. This would be the way to basically say, hey, everybody, we've got money too. And we're going to spend like the Yankees. And to take LeMahieu from the Yankees and put him in Queens would be quite the shot across the bow and would get everybody's attention right off the bat. Hope it doesn't happen, but for the first time ever, I'm genuinely concerned about it because that would be a very axe maneuver. Go get me a Yankee. Go get me one of the best Yankees. And I don't mean the guy that will no longer make the Hall of Fame because he's clearly a cheater in Robinson, don't you know, Cano. What a bummer. I'll tell you this, though. I'm nervous about the Mets doing that sort of thing because they've got the money and they've got the muscle now.
Pay that man his money.
Yes, indeed.
Go Mets.
I'm serious.
And you're right. That kind of ends Cano's Hall of Fame chance.
See you later. Right?
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
Because he has a legit shot at 3,000 hits.
I know. He's got whatever.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's finish up with a little This Day in History. Hit it, Mike.
Here is a bulletin. This Day in History.
The rest is history.
All right, guys. November 19th, 2004, the Palace of Auburn Hills. We know what happened when the Pacers and Pistons went at it. Malice in the Palace. Steven Jackson and Ron Artest at the time went into the stands and all kinds of chaos. So we've had both Steven Jackson and Ron on the show to talk about what happened. Let's start with Steven Jackson. This is from May of 2017.
As Ben pushed and Ben just started swelling up and just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So by that time, we're just trying to calm Ron down because we're trying to get out of there. We won the game. Let's get out of here, get this win. And to Ron's credit, we never seen Ron calm down or relax like that. So he did it. And as soon as he calmed down, a beer came and hit him dead in the face. He took Ben Wallace throwing all kind of stuff at him. He took people saying stuff to him. But when the beer came down his face, he just lost it. Me personally, I couldn't take another man throwing anything in my face. That's just like spitting in my face. And when he went, I didn't think twice. Like, I didn't think, well, maybe I get fined. No. I'm with these guys more than I'm with my family during the course of the year. So this is like my brothers. I was raised to be a protector and to be with my brothers doing thick and thin. When he went, I just went with him, Rick. I didn't think twice. Went in there, laid a couple guys out, and did what I had to do. But the funniest part about it is going to make all y'all laugh. We get in the locker room, and we're sitting there. My legs all scratched up from hopping over the bleachers. Ron's sitting there calming down. His first question to me, do you think we're going to get in trouble? You know my reply? You lucky we have a job. He asked me that, and the whole locker room was like, no, Ron, you serious? Trouble? We passed trouble. We passed trouble. We finna get kicked out the league. And, you know, the fines came down.
Were you genuinely concerned you were going to get kicked out of the league? That you would lose, that your NBA privileges would be revoked?
I actually thought my career was over.
Hmm.
Wow.
Do you think we're going to get in trouble?
Crazy. I mean, classic.
Crazy.
So when he showed up for, as Meta World Peace, we asked him too, right?
So then 2 years ago, Meta World Peace, Ron Artest, showed up, and we asked him about it, and he told us how he eventually became friends with the guy who threw the beer at him.
You're friends with the guy who hit you with the beer?
Absolutely. This is the reason why. This is the reason why I reached out to him, because I don't like to hold grudges, you know. And then also, in this life, it's bigger than getting hit with a cup of beer, getting suspended, losing tens and tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, life is bigger than that. You understand? And things happen, you know, and we move on.
How'd you find him? How'd you find him?
Well, when I first got suspended from the Borough, I thought everybody hated me. I was still young, you know, in my own mind. I had like 3-4 personalities at that age, or hearing things, right? And I was just going crazy at that age. And then I said, you know, I need to get rid of this. I need to feel better about myself. So I reached out to on Twitter. I said, hey, if anybody can find this picture, I'll take you to lunch. I didn't put the name because it was John Green, and I didn't want people to think Ron Artest is reaching out to John Green to start a fight, you know? So I put the picture up, and this guy said, I know who that is. That's John Green, and he found him for me. He gave me his number. I called the number from direct message, and it said, this number has been changed, and then it gives you the right number, right? So... And then I'm sorry, it don't make no sense why they did that back in the days.
Right,
it's exactly. Pretty stupid, right?
Sure.
So then I called the number. I said, hey, this is Ron. Can I speak to John? His wife answers. And she says, get the F out of here, right? That's what she says. Stop playing games. I said, no, I'm serious. This is Ron. Mm-hmm. And then she says, hey, John, Ron's on the phone, right? Like we are friends. It's the funniest story. I wish we could have filmed it. John answers the phone. And this is the guy who threw the cup at me. I can see why. He's crazy. He answers the phone and says, hey, Ron, what's up? Like, he knows me. You understand? Hey, Ron, what's up? How you doing? Very sorry.
He said right away,
I'm very
sorry.
He didn't even check to see if it was me. Like, he just knew it was me.
Wow. I still can't believe that happened.
Backstories to one of the wildest nights in the history of sports. And it's 16 years ago now?
16 wow. years ago today.
Wow.
Imagine forgiving that man for that. Like he said, you lost your reputation, millions upon millions of dollars. Had a chance to be MVP that year.
Pacers could have won the championship.
Could have won the title. I remember in sixth grade, a kid pulled my chair out for me at lunch. I haven't forgiven him to this day. So I can't imagine, like, forgiving a guy for costing you all that.
And then they became friends.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say, but no, what a story.
That was crazy.
What a story.
It's actually pretty cool, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, the event itself is
not
pretty
cool.
Not the
event.
But the fact that there's the backstories to it and the fact that there is at least some sort of closure for a fan who threw a beer and the guy who was on the business end of it before giving the business to others. We'll take a break. When we come back in just a couple minutes, Omar Miller will be back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen Show, talking about the unicorn and more. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
We're mere seconds away from our radio audience joining us, and then Omar Miller, who's been kind to hang on the phone on hold for several minutes while we were strolling down memory lane there about the Malice in the Palace. 16 years ago, man. 16 years ago. And David Stern, you knew he was going to bring down that hammer, and he did in a big way. And you're right. The Pacers were on a roll,
man. Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
Those two teams, Steven Jackson, Ted, not in what we've shown, but they played in the Eastern Conference Finals the year before.
Right.
So there was already some bad blood brewing between those two teams.
I mean, that was crazy.
Ben Wallace is a big man.
Yeah.
And look at Rick Carlisle with all that hair on the bench there.
Oh, my goodness.
For Indiana.
Yeah.
For Indiana. Man, oh, man, oh, man. All right, so we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio side of things, and we're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock. One big happy simulcast family, and we're thrilled to have back here on the show, reappearing. It's been a while, though. The Unicorn airs tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. We've had Walter Goggins and Rob Corddry on to talk about it, and once again, Omar Miller back here on the show. How you been, sir?
What's up, man? I've been good. You know, I got two world championships in the City of Angels. Life is good.
I know. I think the last time you were here, you know, we looked it up because that's what we do because we're professionals. It was about a year ago, and you were nervous about the Dodgers Nationals, and rightfully so, as it all turned out. You know,
it turns out.
But,
who knew?
But yeah, you saw that one coming. But I mean, this year the Lakers Dodgers double dip has got to be something for you, obviously.
Oh, it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious, and I'm not even a Lakers fan, but the city's been through so much, man, earthquakes and fires, obviously the pandemic being botched and right. The whole song and dance, and it was clutch for the guys to come through. So shout out to LeBron James, and shout out to the best player in baseball, Mookie Betts, regardless of whatever MVPs they want to give out and this, that, and the other. There's one key factor that was different between last 3 years and this year, and it's a man named Mookie Betts manning right field, who beat every team in a different way. It's incredible to watch if you really know baseball.
Well, I mean, yeah, we could let's linger here, not only because I just love talking about Mookie Betts, but my colleague across the way, Chris Brockman, is a Red Sox fan who laments his departure every single day. So,
thank you.
Oh, Mark, come on, man.
But I mean, I think you're referring to that throw he made from the right field foul pole to third base in Arizona during a regular season game. And then, you know, I know, again, Corey Seager was the MVP of the World Series, and rightfully so. But that final game of the World Series where Betts was the one who immediately made the Rays pay for taking Snell out of the game by setting up two runners in scoring position, allowing the tying run to score because of a wild pitch, and then scoring on a hot smash to first, might be the only guy on the team who'd been able to do that, pretty much.
Well, here's the thing. And I know I'm here to talk about the unicorn, but
we'll get to that.
I got to talk. Oh, yeah.
Go for it, yeah.
And let me tell you, the truth of the matter is, if you watch in between the game, in between the stat lines, Mookie Betts wins you every game. And it's not just the throw from right field. It's the leaping catches that he makes. It's the positioning where he is and the jumps he gets on the baseball. It's helping Cody Bellinger out at center field. It's running the bases properly because it's not all about speed. That's why he's able to score from third, because he gets the proper secondary lead. He works counts. He then, in turn, from working counts, makes Corey Seager get pitches that he wouldn't have gotten. The guy affects change in every single way that you can. Some of it shows up in the box score. A lot of it doesn't, and you kind of have to have a trained eye to see how he's affecting the game.
And obviously, you as a Dodger fan would know, Omar, that very rarely do you sit in a rocking chair from the eighth inning on, you know, with the bullpen. But the fact that he – I don't mean that – I mean that seriously, that the bullpen, I know Urias was clutch in many ways, but the fact that Betts provided the – insurance run in that game six with a solo shot on top of everything that we're talking about. I'm totally with you, man. I mean, that he's,
and we got him for a dozen years. Can you believe it?
Brockman shaking his head over there.
You're bad, man. You guys can't let the best player in baseball walk. You insane. He already won you World Series. Maybe even two.
Yeah, Omar, I'm aware. I'm aware. I know what happened.
But thank you. From Bean Town to ours. We're Title Town.
I'm here to help.
Yeah, I know. And it was neat to see Kershaw, right, celebrating like that, Omar?
I'm so happy for that guy.
Right.
I'm so happy for him. He's such a good person. Everybody that, you know, interacts with him, you can see it and feel it from the word go. And, you know, for him to be constantly stigmatized as though he wasn't clutch. And honestly, he pitched you two big games in this World Series. And the guy has had to shoulder the team for so long for him to finally get some help and to not have his pitches being, you know, tipped by electronics and BS. It's great for this dude to now get to celebrate so he can take his rightful place in generational, you know, celebration, because he's a once in a generation pitcher.
Omar Miller here on the Rich Eisen Show. And in terms of your previous work, we will get to the unicorn in a second. Although I guess we are talking about a unicorn in Mookie Betts right now. that in terms of people you've worked with in your career, who's been the Mookie Betts who's like perfect at everything that you've worked with?
Ooh, wow, that's a tough one.
Well, I've got some choices for you. Just off the top of my head here. Okay, so you've been in 8 Mile. So obviously you've been around Marshall Mathers. You've been around Eminem, right?
Yep.
Ballers, you've been around The Rock. And then my choice, you've been around David Caruso, CSI Miami. Right, Omar?
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. If we're going to go through those three,
yes.
I haven't heard either Caruso or Dwayne drop a hot 16, so you probably have to lean on Marshall if we're talking about somebody who can do it all.
Yes.
But
yes,
I got a wild card in there for you.
Okay, please.
Because in all honesty, Benicio Del Toro can do it all, man. Dude can do comedy. I've worked with him on a film called Things We Lost in the Fire.
Okay.
And he can do it all. And keeping it super 100, it might be the guy I work with every day now in Walton Goggins.
I love that guy.
Because
yes,
you can see him be one way on the unicorn. He's another way on the Righteous Gemstones. He's a serial killer on the Justified.
Yeah.
You know, he played the transgendered woman on Sons of Anarchy. You have nothing but options. This guy's really talented. I feel the pretty good fantasy entertainment.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And we had Walton here as well. And my kid went against his kid in a pony baseball league game a couple of years ago here in Los Angeles. He's just a regular dude, too. Just a dad, you know, I mean, just in real life, too. I mean, that's not a bad choice, Omar. That's not a bad choice.
He's a sleeper. So you'll get him for cheap, but he'll overperform.
That's in your daily fantasy. That's in your daily fantasy, right?
Exactly.
That's in your daily unicorn fantasy. Fantastic.
Keeper league, we got to go with a younger guy, you know?
Yeah,
we got to get some youth if we're doing a keeper fantasy.
Yeah, I love it. So the unicorn is back tonight, right? So these are all, you shot these during the pandemic, right? Is that when you did as well? So these are all new?
Oh, man, we're shooting them now.
Shooting them now, right. Okay, so you're shooting these now. Okay.
Yeah, and it's rough. The COVID protocol is real, man. I tell you, I go to the grocery store, I go here, I go there, and people mm-hmm. are on my helmet about having something new to watch.
Right.
Makes me feel like a version of an essential worker, because everybody's worn out their Netflix queue, their Amazon queue, and they're looking for new. And we got it for you on the unicorn. So the show's been really well received. They did the really smart thing and put the first season available to binge on Netflix. And now the new season's available only on CBS. And CBS All Access, and you know, we're dealing, our show is super relevant now, even more so than before, because we're dealing with grief and loss and moving forward in your life with hope and optimism via community, via the family that you choose, which are your friends. And with the pandemic and all of the crises that are going on financially and every other way, it's extremely relevant to help people deal.
It's a neat show on CBS tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Season 2 premiered last Thursday, so we're off and running in that second season. And then I'm reading the card that's been placed in front of me about everything else that's going on with you, Omar. I was unaware that there's a Lego Star Wars holiday special coming up on Disney Plus. That's on right now.
It's out now.
It's out right now.
It's out.
I'm all in. I did not know that. I got to get on that with my kids. We got to get on that. That's fantastic.
Let me know what you think. People, so far, this has been really, really well received. I don't know. This voiceover thing is new to me, but they've welcomed me with open arms.
Fantastic.
And now I'm doing a, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie for Netflix. We're doing this thing. Got some other stuff up my sleeve. It's, you know, it's been a really tough year. And then it's been a really blessed year in other ways.
Well,
I try to look at the positive.
I'll get on that. My kids love Lego Star Wars. And then do I need to have my head on a swivel and see your footsteps coming, that you and your brother have what's called an unfair and partial sports podcast called The Ozone? Do I have to Do I have to worry about
you? Completely partial. No, we're not on your level, Rich.
Okay.
We're having a good time. You know, we're talking about Mookie Betts. We called him the best player in baseball before he won this last championship. We talk a lot of boxing, and we're having a good time. And you're welcome to come on our podcast, Rich.
Anytime.
And you know, you're our high fantasy draft when it comes to guests.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I would love to return the favor and do home and home. Although, as we wrap up this conversation, on behalf of my colleague, Chris Brockman, who is stinging from all of this Mookie Betts talk, the Rich Eisen Show staff has found several photographs of you, Omar, wearing other hats than just a Dodger cap. We have a shot of you in a Yankee lid, a Detroit lid, a Braves lid. These are all from red carpets. They appear. Also, it appears you're wearing a full Washington Nationals uniform that reeks of All-Star game material.
That was for the Wounded Warriors.
Okay.
That was for the Wounded
so that's
Warriors.
For a cause. What about the other? What about the other lids that you're wearing casually in real life? Are you Fugazi or True Blue? What's going on?
It's fashion. It's fashion. It's design. Hold on a second. Don't question my loyalty to the Dodgers. I have a story for that.
And okay.
The truth of the matter is my brother, who's my podcast co-host, Terry Miller, was drafted by the Dodgers and done dirty by the organization way on back in the early 90s. So I had a bone to pick with them.
Huh.
And what happened was we actually started working with Don Mattingly when he was the head coach of the Dodgers and the Dodgers Foundation and thus the Kershaw Foundation.
Yes.
And that's what brought me around.
Okay. So
brought me back home.
So you and the Braves lid and the Yankee lid, which, you know, I appreciate, and the Detroit Tiger lid, that's for fashion. That's just like because it matched or it made you feel good about what you were as an ensemble. On the red carpets that we see this.
Well,
what you're saying?
The Detroit lid, a lot of times that was a nod to 8 Mile, which, springboarded my career.
Yes, correct.
So I definitely owe the city of Detroit a lot.
All right.
You know, Detroit stand up. The Bravos, when I was a kid, I used to love John Smoltz and watching Ron Gant out there.
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know, but these are fashion choices. You show me at the games. Show me front row waving the Dodger flag with Kareem at the World Series. You know, this
Whoa.
Is what you need to focus on.
Hold on
friend.
A second. Hold on a second. Kareem as in Abdul-Jabbar? Is that who you're dropping
as
on me?
As in the captain. As in the all-time leading scorer. As in the greatest basketball player of all time. That Kareem.
That's a very large name to just drop on the way out the door, Omar. That's impressive.
Listen, you tried to come at me, Rich. like my fandom was suspect. I got to go with the heavy hitters here.
Always enjoy our chats, Omar. Thanks for having the moment to call in here. I'm more than happy to appear on your pod with your brother, and we'll be watching the Unicorn on CBS tonight and every Thursday at 9:30 Eastern time. Thanks for the call.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
You got it. That's Omar Miller, at Omar Benson Miller on Instagram, at Omar Miller on Twitter. Always fun talking to Omar. See, Chris, we have your back a little bit right there.
Thanks, guys.
No. I don't know how that's equal to you watching Mookie Betts play here for the next dozen years.
Not the same.
When you take Kurt Warner's name is Cage. So when you take Cage to Dodger Stadium, and you tell Cage, he used to play for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And then he'll look at you and say, why aren't you a Dodger fan then, Daddy, if you love Mookie so much? Then you're going to have to talk about spite and things like that and
spite.
You know, no, honestly, these are things that you need to instill in your child.
Spite and only being happy when he's sad?
Well, you're a Boston guy. You're going to have to instill the fact that spite is a very strong emotion in fandom for you.
That's true.
Somebody's going to have to teach him that.
Well,
what's Sarah going to teach him?
Disappointment.
No lead is safe.
No lead is safe.
No lead, no
Until
matter what.
All zeros are on the clock.
Cage, let mom tell you a story about no lead being safe. Actually, I've got a whole book of them.
Let mom tell you the time she was at the Super Bowl.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
Okay, we'll come back. Michael Holly will join us to help us take us to him. Does that make sense? Brother for Another is coming up. That's what I'm saying.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming.
Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcasts. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
We'll take a couple calls before we head on down the road to take NBC Sports on Peacock to Brother from Another. We had Michael Smith on last week, Michael Holly before that. If they are so inclined, we can make this a regular thing, like a rotational situation.
Sounds good.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I should ask Michael Holly when he's about to join us.
Keep it in the family, the Peacock family.
Well, how many Brothers from Another are there?
Millions, actually.
A couple. On Peacock.
Well, there's
that,
those two.
That sounded like that time I said to my, you know, on the air at the Combine, have Brothers ever guarded one another in the National Football League? Has ever been a brother who guards a brother, and Dion goes every, you know, every day?
Every play, Rich.
Great response, Dion.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio simulcast. Joining me here as he, helping us take us to him and Michael Smith every single day when we're done here on NBC Sports on Peacock at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We hand off the NBC Sports on Peacock channel to Brother from Another, Michael Holly, joining us once again. How are you, Michael?
Rich, I'm doing great. And yes, we'll do it. We'll keep the rotation going.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'd love to. And to answer your question,
yes.
How many brothers? We got lots of them, including, I was calling him our brother, Chris Sims.
Yes.
And he had all kinds of jokes saying he was a token white guy. And I was like, come on, Sims. Like, why we gotta go there? You know, like, we love you.
Yes.
Who cares? We got different daddies. It doesn't matter. You all part of family.
Yes.
So he had to make that about, you know, he had to make it about race and everything. But I'm going to tell you today.
Yes.
He's my stepbrother today. He's my stepbrother.
Chris Sims. He's on your
show. Chris Sims.
Okay.
He used to be, last week,
yes.
He was my brother. At, you know, Thanksgiving, at the same table, everything's good.
What happened?
This week, he's my stepbrother because I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he bumped his head with these football. You see these quarterback rankings he came out with?
I did not.
Uh-oh.
Enlighten me. What happened?
I just know. I know a good Michigan man. Well, Michigan wasn't smart enough to play him when he was there, but that's okay. I know a good Michigan man, Tom Brady.
Yes,
was not in his top 10. Not in his top 10 quarterbacks this year. Like, what's he thinking?
Well, I guess. Let me just guess then who he's got up there. So he must have Russ
Ryan
there.
Tannehill.
Tannehill over Brady. Now that's fighting words.
Deshaun Watson.
Well, Deshaun, I could kind of understand that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Tom is 44 years old, right? I mean,
43.
I know. I'm rounding up, just try to help him with his equation. So that's what you're going to be talking about with Chris. I mean, this is a big game tonight, too, man. This is a huge game tonight. I'm very excited for Kyler v. Russ this evening for week 11.
Who you got in this game?
You know what? That's a great question. I've been going back and forth here, so. Chris, look it up. When was the last time a Pete Carroll team lost three in a row? When was that last time? I don't know when it was, but I'm not going to sit here and say that the Seahawks don't have deficiencies that Arizona can take advantage of. And my concern is Arizona has had trouble closing games, including the win against Seattle, including what we saw against Buffalo, that they just, when they need to pick up a first down late, they haven't. When Kyler Murray needs to pick one up, he's ending up throwing it and instead of running it, and vice versa. They've been out of sync. But I'm leaning towards Arizona tonight. What about you?
Yeah, Arizona. I'm going with Arizona too. But you bring up a great point from Sunday that nobody's talking about because of that great finish. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins there in the end zone. Over three guys. I mean, you usually don't throw in a triple coverage and come away happy about it, but you know, it's DeAndre Hopkins. But on the drive before that, Cliff Kingsbury kind of messed it up. All he had to do was kind of eat some clock, and they threw, I think they threw three times to hand it over to Buffalo to allow Josh Allen and Buffalo to go ahead. So if they didn't have that big comeback, that big throw, I think Kingsbury would have been facing some tough questions. But I think the catch took all that away.
Yeah, it is one of those again where Arizona has been, you know, shooting themselves in the foot a little bit with decision making and then execution towards the end of the game. But they are still 6-3, and I don't know. I mean, we've all seen momentum and what a fickle beast it can be, but how you can take it from one game to another, and it's only been 4 days. I think I'm going to go with Arizona tonight. I think you've helped me talk this one out. I think that's the way I'm going to go.
Hey, Rich, don't you feel like, I know 2020 has been weird in a lot of ways away from sports, but if I told you last year that we're talking about Arizona in a position to sweep Seattle, in a season series, that the Cleveland Browns came off a big win and they're 6-3. That Buffalo is leading the AFC East and they could have been 8-2 if not for that last second catch. I mean, think about Tampa Bay is 7-3. You feel like you're in some kind of alternate reality, don't you?
Yeah, it is just, it's one of those crazy years, and it's one of those years in which it's an any given Sunday, and it's been happening. And it's been weird. If I'm not mistaken, Chris, has Pete Carroll ever lost three games in a row?
Yeah, so the last time
Seahawks?
Yeah, no, they did it in 2011 was the last time. They lost three in a row to Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Dallas. They finished 7-9 that
year. I've got this up right here. The quarterbacks in that game were Tavares Jackson and the quarterback that Jeff Schaefer, the Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld writer and producer and director, would call clipboard Jesus. Charlie Whitehurst was his was the quarterback.
That was a year of a big run. That was when they hosted a playoff game. Everybody was mad about it because they were 7-9. They played the Saints, and then Marshawn Lynch broke 70 tackles and then had an interesting celebration in the end zone.
Actually, it was the year after that, to be honest with you, and it's one of those.
Was that the year after?
Well, 2010 was the year in which they beat the defending champion New Orleans Saints in that game, and that was the Beastquake.
The year after they lost three in a row.
Right after it's kind of, yeah, that was 2010, year before they lost three in a row. And I remember being in Seattle all those years ago before Russell Wilson showed up, and we were asking Pete Carroll after the game, as we were being showered by Skittles, by the way, in the corner on our NFL Network set, was asking, you know, what's the identity of this team? Because this was pre-Legion of Boom and pre-Russell Wilson. And we're wondering, like, Pete was the identity, and so was Marshawn Lynch, and then we all know the kind of the rest is history. I've got Michael Holly here. We'll take him to Brother from Another. What is your – I don't want to steal too much of whatever you're talking about, but, you know, the Klay Thompson news is significant. I wonder what you think of it.
Yeah, it's tough. Because I was, you know, Michael Smith asked me yesterday when we didn't know the news and going into the draft, he said, okay, what team are you most intrigued by? And I think he said the Hawks, because they already got some young talent, number six pick, what would the Hawks do? And I said, Golden State. Because if you have Klay Thompson coming back and you got Curry coming back, you still got Draymond, you got the second pick in the draft, I'm just intrigued. And see how Andrew Wiggins plays with those guys. I was just intrigued by Golden State because I thought they'd be right back in the championship conversation. But Klay Thompson missing another season, second season in a row, it's just going to be tough. I mean, the West is loaded anyway. I just don't think they have enough without Klay Thompson to be back in that conversation. So, yeah, that's devastating. That's a big one for us. And we're also You know, this is we talk about some serious, serious issues on Brother from Another, like Michael B. Jordan's best movies, ranking them. You know, that's coming up.
So, and that's based on his selection of Sexiest Man Alive, is what you're saying.
Sexiest Man Alive, mm-hmm. Yes.
That's, of course, if John Legend actually relinquishes that title, he might actually be holding out and trying to sue to keep his title. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I gotta go with Michael B. Jordan on
okay.
that one.
Oh, I don't know. All right, very good.
And the answer is Creed, Michael.
I'm gonna tell you, listen.
Yes.
I'm not the one to say what women are looking for. Clearly, TJ knows. I've struggled with that most of my life. And I was able to con a woman into marrying me.
You outpunted your coverage, man.
Definitely. Don't tell her, though. Don't tell her.
So Michael B. Jordan, his best movie is Fruitvale Station. I mean, that's to be honest with you.
That's in my top five, Rich. Oh, I like that. That's a good... Rich Eisen is officially a brother from another.
Hey! Michael, let me tell you a quick story.
Yes!
Let me just tell you a quick story, Michael, okay? And then we'll send you to your coverage.
Do I have to? I like hanging out with you guys.
It's all good. Okay. I think I am contractually mandated to hand off the show at the top of the hour. This was the All-Star game in New York City, the one that was featured in The Last Dance because it was Kobe Bryant's with Michael Jordan. And I did SportsCenter with Stuart Scott, and we were coming down on Saturday night after doing a SportsCenter. He wasn't too thrilled about doing that SportsCenter Saturday night because he wanted to be in New York City for this big, huge All-Star game. So anyway, we're driving down, and we go to Times Square, where the old All-Star Cafe, if you remember that, with Tiger and Shaq and Ken Griffey and what Gretzky had their restaurant or whatever, like a sports version of Planet Hollywood. It was around 1:30 in the morning, and everyone was streaming out of the All-Star Cafe because the party that that Stuart wanted to go to had just ended. Stuart gets out of the car, and he's like, I'm going to ask this cop where the next party is. I'm like, what are you doing? Literally got out of Times Square, car's running, got out of the car, asked the police officer where the next party is, got back in, said, I got the information. Let's get out of the car. Because we were, you know, Stuart had we had a service drive us down. Got out of the car, okay, and started walking west towards the Lincoln Tunnel. And I grew up in New York City. I'd not really spent much time in that part of the neighborhood. I was literally the only white guy on the street at that point in time. Stuart Scott, it was like Elvis had entered the building, and everybody started flocking around him, telling him how much they loved him. And then one guy looked at me and goes, hey, the white guy. I love you, white guy. Okay. Michael? I've been the white guy for a long time, no matter what you're saying. Okay.
Hey, Michael, Rich is definitely invited to the barbecue, man.
Oh, yeah, he's in.
A.K.A. the black Rich Eisen.
That's what Shaq himself said back in the day. Okay, I'll take that.
Rich Eisen is at the barbecue, sitting at the table, just chilling.
Michael, have a good show. Yes.
How about dominoes? You play dominoes?
I've had dominoes.
Back
when I went to school in Michigan, Ann Arbor.
You're there. We love you. You're there. Don't worry about
Thank
it.
You.
We'll take care of all the other stuff.
Thank you, Michael. You take care. We'll see you soon.
You cleared the big hurdle.
Okay. All right. No, have a great show with Michael Smith. I enjoy our chats on Thursdays, and tell Michael I said hi. There you go. I just want to make sure.
All right, TJ.
Later, brother.
By the way, TJ, Cowboys, two wins. Ha ha.
There you go. That's a mic drop.
Ignorance.
That's
right
kind
there.
Of a Jewish goodbye with a brother from another.
That was
he
great.
Says I'm an honorary member.
He didn't want to leave, Mike.
He is too.
He didn't want to leave.
I love that.
That was unnecessary at the end, though. We didn't have to slip that in there.
Do we want to jam this in, Don? Or we want to jam it in?
That's what she did.
Okay, go for it.
The weather out there.
It's raining sideways.
Del Tufo with the weekend weather update.
Come on, Mike.
Oh yeah. Look at that guy. Picture.
What's the weather like tonight, Mike?
The weather tonight is 47 degrees, and there are going to be showers at the start of the game, and they're going to get a little bigger as the game goes on.
What's bigger?
Wind, the showers, because they're going to continue and they're going to get worse. And there will be a little wind at about 9 miles an hour. Boom. That's how quick I am.
What's the disclaimer? Mike Del Tufo is definitely not a meteorologist and absolutely uncertified.
Anyway, whatsoever.
Fantastic. Oh, that is fantastic. We should get Brokaw to read that.
So there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Where's the game tonight?
Seattle.
Okay.
In a new
The stadium was renamed.
Yes.
CenturyLink.
Yes.
Is now called Lumen.
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 Lumen stadium. Field.
So it's not a new sponsor.
Okay.
CenturyLink changed their name to Lumen.
Wow, he's giving us the business on, and the weather.
I mean,
what's the traffic, Mike, on the Fox?
By the way, the road along the water there is going to be busy with no cars because no one's can go to the game. So I'm
there's a jackknife big rig out there somewhere.
Yeah, all right, let's stop over ahead.
Yeah.
Were we ever ahead?
No.
Yeah.
Never ahead.
Rich.
I want to thank Chris Mannix, Jared Goff, Sean Porter, Omar Miller, and Michael Holly. Tomorrow, we will discuss this very game with none other than Troy Aikman, who's calling it tonight.
Go.
So, number 8 will be first up on our Friday show. That's okay. We'll be wrapping up the show on Peacock in a second. We'll see your radio tomorrow.